You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at bringdowntheband.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7th. Entire crew is here, locked and loaded. Their own locations, as always. I from Decademics Voice. Hey, Moore, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Staying away from the Rona and staying away from the police. That's the only way I know how to do it.
I heard that, boy. Ain't nothing else to talk about after somebody say that. You know where that boy been. My man DJ J Diff. What's happening, man? You staying off that ramp?
Holy. Hey, Tyson, you know it, man. Got to keep it willing and dealing, man.
Not at all, man. We definitely, what we don't do
is... All my classes were on flatland, sir.
What we don't do is, you know, we don't disrespect the ramp, you know what I'm talking about, but we check on people to make sure they're not on it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Live from the Bringing Down the Band headquarters, my man Longevity, how are you, sir?
I am spectacular. Thanks for asking.
Cardiovascular.
Yep.
Dr. RZA. All right, man. It's good to see you, brothers, as always. Shout out to the chat, man. I got to scroll back up. E, I see you. D-Frog, as always. What's happening? DJ Nate Jeezy, my East Coast fam. What's going on? The Flood, I see you. Poppy Amon. What's happening? Trey, what's good? Did I miss anybody? Goodwill Hunter. There he is. 317, what's happening? Skip, what's up, bro? Glad you're in the building. Appreciate you. I think that's everybody so far. Let's see. Man, are y'all, before we get into these topics real quick, I told Terry, we were talking on a pre-show. I'm trying not to get too hype about.
Hello?
We lost Mike.
Mike, check.
Mike is gone. He's got no microphone. Check your settings.
Uh-oh. Yeah, right when he was about to say, are you guys hype about nothing?
Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, we can hear you now. We can hear you now.
Don't say, are you ready for Jehovah's return? I think.
we'll see you at the hall. No, I'm trying not to get too hype about the Anderson .Paak album, Bruno.
Yeah,
and it's got Bootsy Collins is going to be featured, but I think it's going to be really good, man. Like, I'm trying to, you know, trying not to get too excited, but that's a hell of a combination, man, musically. And, you know, that's going to be so funky. I don't know, man. I know Lone don't care, but so I'm going to go just real quick to J Diff on this one. Talk to me, man, real quick before we get to the topics, man. Bootsy.
He might actually have some feelings on this one because it's musically inclined. But
that part of bringing me in, I'm with you there. You're right.
Yeah, man, that's why I had to pump my brakes. Like, I'm excited to see that it's happening. I actually can't wait to hear the project.
Right.
I had to pump my brakes on it because I'd hate to get so hype about this project and then let me down, because I mean, we're coming off of Bruno Mars had arguably his best album to date, which was released in when was that, 2016? Was his last
about
album?
About four or five years ago.
Four years. So about 2016, 2017. Anderson .Paak, I mean, we all know what he can do. I mean, he did drop one that was kind of, it was cool. One before
Oxnard.
Oxnard
was the one which you said was cool with Dre all over.
Ventura made up for Oxnard.
I agree.
For the most part, his percentage is definitely great. And two musicians on there, some funk from Bootsy Collins. You can't go wrong with it, hopefully. So
the sound and the songwriting to me is, and be like A+, man, level when you talking about these two. But like you said, I'm gonna pull it back in. I'm not gonna get too gassed. But the possibilities, we'll just say that. Is it this Friday?
No, it's the 10th. It's the 10th. The first song, single.
No, oh, okay.
Yeah. I ain't mad at it, man. Probably be a hell of a live show. I mean, we're going to talk about that and the possibilities of that.
Definitely, I'll check that out.
what the ticket price is going to hit for Jay Moore for the, yeah. if this tour was to pop off, how much they asking for the nosebleed? Just give me a price.
It don't make no difference to me. I ain't going. y'all ain't gonna catch me at a concert, not at the movies. Look, I'm already taking enough risk going to work in a nightclub. I am not going anywhere where they don't have a check for me. Yeah, like no. yeah, so I don't care what the nosebleeds are.
Flood said $150.
That's not $150. Okay. That's lightweight because Bruno by himself
gonna be $150.
It was like two and some change for Bruno by himself. Add an Anderson .Paak to the equation. And look, yeah. When I went to see Anderson .Paak, Malibu came out. Yeah. I told myself, this is the last time I'm gonna be able to see Anderson .Paak for $25.
Right.
Do it that night.
He was right. So on this show to get to the floor. Down in the floor section.
We can talk about this later when we talk about the live
news. Wait till the music come out, and then we can show it. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't do that. You be ready
to talk about the, or we can just talk about the Live Nation stuff now. I guess that makes more sense. We can just talk about that.
If you want to run into it, I can go ahead and pull up the article. That's cool, and then we can double back with the original first one second. I'm with you.
I don't know if you guys saw, but the Live Nation CEO said that he expects festivals to be back by midsummer.
Yes, yeah, and that it's Michael Rapino is his name. He's the CEO, and his statement was: make sure I have it pulled up. I want to make sure I read the right amount because he had a percentage of the fans that would be in there as well. He says he plans to organize venues to open up to 75 to 100% capacity for outdoor events in 2021. He says we're better off waiting for a high bar capacity moment, he continued. And most of the states to ramp up and talk to artists about getting paid properly. So they're planning on doing 75 to 100% capacity outside venues. I'm going to guess that there's no specific timeline, but maybe last quarter of the year. We just had Texas opened up, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I don't know if they're... Texas plans will to be open up.
Plans to open are. Up, I'm sorry.
But the governor announced it, saying that, yeah, we're going to be back to 100% capacity and no mask guidelines. I think he said that today.
Yeah. The article says also the United Kingdom announced that live concerts and festivals could return without social distancing requirements as early as June 21st. That's in the UK. Live Nation put up, 100,000 tickets for a reading. Leeds Festival scheduled for August 27th. So it looks like Live Nations might start popping in the last quarter of the year. UK is looking like June. So... I know we were just talking about Anderson .Paak and Bruno. Go ahead, Lone, jump in there. What do you guys feel about that, man? The possibility of 75 to 100% capacity shows fourth quarter this year.
I think we'll probably see it. I mean, we're going to see a lot more. I think states with Florida type states emerge just because they're going to get business, back going again. And so, I'm not even surprised at it. Other places in the world have already been back to normal. New Zealand.
But they had competent government exactly. that actually took this seriously.
That's the difference. And so we haven't. And so we're playing catch up here. And just because the numbers are going down, that's a good thing, right? And so we should probably want to continue that. So how about we not do anything like stupid by opening up too soon?
Drastic.
Stupid and drastic and all that stuff. But I wouldn't be surprised, man. I wouldn't be surprised if it might be state by state, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that open up. And I wouldn't be surprised to see people go, some people, have no some people simply just you have the people that don't think the virus is that big of a deal, and two some people People are just at the point where they are tired of it. So I hopefully it gets
not going to take it.
Hopefully it gets curbed. You know, like hopefully we're in a major downward trend before anything really pops off like this. But I'm not surprised by this at all. That's what I have to say. Mike, I can't hear you. Anybody else wants to jump in? Mike.
I think it's all about, and you know, this, and I'm conflicted. I'm conflicted in a way because once again, I do work in the service and entertainment industry, and I'm from that aspect of selfish aspect. Yes, I'm very happy that, you know, we're here in Indiana. I'm glad that we're going back to 50%. Now we can serve over the bar, 75% for restaurants. They still do have to have a certain level of social distancing, and there is still a mask mandate here, you know, but at the same time, there's part of me that says, okay, I know we're not doing this because of a real interest in public health, but we're doing this for an interest in, we need to get the public to start spending some money so we can generate some tax revenue, not only for the city, but so we can stop all these small businesses from closing. So I think that's what a lot of people are looking at. I'm honest. I look at the national dashboard every day, you know, and I've been encouraged by seeing the numbers go down, specifically here in Indiana. But at the same time, when you look at the overall, no, it still is listed. 50 out of 50 states are still listed as uncontrolled spread. You know, so I am still a bit worried, you know, like I know some people think that, doctors and scientists are just trying to ruin our fun. I'm not one of those people. I take the things they have to say seriously, even though I have to take the fact that I need to make money seriously as well. And the fact that, like, we can't stay shut down forever. You know, I'm just saying, like, especially to, I know we have a few listeners in Dallas and Houston and Austin, all the whole Texas squadron, you know, just because your governor says that you have 100% occupancy and there's no mask mandate, that doesn't mean that you should, you know, if you personally want to stay a little bit safer and increase your ability to be safe, you don't have to take off the mask. Go ahead and wear the mask places, and you don't have to go out to, you know, the Papa Do's or wherever, or Turkey Leg Hut. You know, you can still stay home. You don't, you're not required to go out just because everything is open. And I encourage people who live here, like, I understand there's a lot of my friends who I don't expect to see coming out on Fridays and Saturdays and Thursday nights or whatever night I'm working, you know, and I completely understand that. So, you know, I feel like if you, once again, everybody says it's about personal choice. If you still want to make the personal choice to stay home, go ahead and stay home. But as far as going to concerts, for me, you know, what I'm looking at, every time we ease up a little bit and think everything's going to be all good, there's another spike that happens and we got to shut right back down. So I still think that summer is kind of being optimistic, especially you're talking about festivals, not talking about seated, but like festivals where people are just known to be all up on each other. I still think we're being a little bit optimistic considering, like, there are places that, like, the mayor of Atlanta.
But see, my thing, Jay,
you guys hear me?
I can now. I don't think it's like an optimistic thing. I just think that people don't care anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's at that point, you know.
Look, the mayor of Atlanta said, look, they said please don't come down here and kick it for All-Star game. But you know what? I have seen about 20 flyers for everybody down at All-Star. Look, Tory Lanez has a party at All-Star game. Like, that's how thirsty they are for people to just be out in the streets.
Man, yeah. please believe there's going to be multiple parties at this All-Star game. People are going to be kicking it like it's normal, especially with it being in Georgia. So I'm not going to be surprised by anything I see that's down there. I know it's going to be cracking down there. Like, that won't shock me at all. Like, I'm just curious to see how many of them happen at this point, because I know it's going to be popping down there. And I'm curious to see how many of these players, how do you quarantine and keep players away from all these parties at All-Star weekend? Like, that's what I'm curious about. Well, to see how that's going to work.
The interesting thing about that, and Terry, I can hear you just fine, just for the record, but I was watching the JJ Redick podcast the other day, and he was talking about how so many NBA players didn't even want an All-Star break this year because of the shortened season and all that. So I don't know if and them just being so tired. So maybe we won't see that particularly, but
I don't think we'll see them at the parties, but
no,
everybody
else. It's just, we're in a weird place right now where it's like conspiracy central, and everybody is like not believing professionals. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of that.
CDC and not believing doctors and stuff. Like, that is goofy, man. Don't be that.
But you believe the MyPillow guy.
There's so many people that have their own opinion on what's going on over the whole spectrum of everything 2020 when it comes down to COVID to even Trump. There's still crazy people that think Trump is still president, or there's going to be this magical day where he comes back and is still sworn in as president. Like, this is still going on. People actually believe this shit.
Yep.
So if people are that stupid, believe that and not understand how politics work, science works, what makes you think that they're going to believe that need to wear a mask or it's mandatory, or that that COVID is actually real? So that being said, festivals opening up and people actually going and having a good time, I do see probably more people going than you think gonna show up at these events.
Yep.
And be ready to party and just get life back to normal. And like I was just talking to Metronome earlier today, I'm ready to get back to normal myself. Like, it's for the birds, but at the same time, got a family and friends that you got to protect. When it's time to come back together, then we can come back together and do it. You know what I'm saying? But until that happens, hey, I'm cool. And I know I was skeptical at first about that shot. The more and more time that goes by, the more and more time that I'm considering for it as soon as it's available. Because, like I said, I'm ready to get back to life and enjoying life and able to do the things that I like doing without having to worry about getting sick or taking something home to my family.
Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready for us all to be in the same room again. But, you know,
man, talk to him on that, boy.
You know,
man, he said something right there, boy.
We've gone through different forms of technology just at the time. You know, first we was on Zoom and now we integrated Twitch and whatnot. Like, just think about all the stuff that we've had to figure out just in, and it'll be a year, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
Yeah, like I was thinking about that. Like, we started, like, the, you know, when everything originally started happening, I believe it was around March is when it started to get to the point where it was, it was spooky out there a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Things was real quiet.
We shut down right after the NBA.
It was real spooky out there. And I remember us going through the Zoom phase and trying to figure it out and mics and all that. And to fast forward now, it's crazy, but it's become the norm. It's like, I'm just so used to logging in and seeing y'all in squares, but to Jay Moore's point, it would be so dope just to sit down at the table and break bread like we used to at some point.
I don't know about you guys, me being the like recluse person I am in general, the introverted, whatever.
Yeah.
I've realized just how much I don't like communicating with people via technology anymore. Like, I just don't like to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like replying to texts. I don't like messages. Like, it legitimately bothers me. And it's fine. Like, in person is fine. But it's just, I feel myself as somebody who's always, in general, kind of cool being by himself, that, communicating via technology has just been, I don't know. It, like, pisses me off for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, because now you have to do it. Now you have to do it. It was a point where that was an option. You know, I'd be like, there was a time, you know, because there was a time I'd be like, I'll just wait till I see him and we'll talk about it. You know, now we don't have that option.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who knows? And who knows when that will be? You know, like, one thing that we all can relate to, I'm kind of getting off script, but one thing that we can all relate to, or a place that we can use as a point of reference, has always been coaches. And that's just something that's been, I don't want to say taken for granted, but it's just been so normal. The routine has been so normal. You don't even think twice about it. It's like, yo, I can go to coaches if I want to, or if not, it's cool. I'll catch it next week. Or I might see Lone in there one weekend, or I might not, or I catch Terry, or, you know, we all go over after we record the show. Like, I don't want to say I took it for granted, but it's crazy now. It's been a long time, man, where you can just come in there and see a whole bunch of people and dap them up with no issues. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes you sit back and think about, you know, how valuable those times are. At least it has for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. For sure.
And like they used to.
No, I don't see that yet.
Some people that's going to want to still do that, and they might even get offended if you kind of pull back, but it's true. Like, do what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see though, man. I'm curious about this 75 to 100%. I think the chat is saw. Nate had a good point. He said a lady from the CDC was on TV yesterday begging people to stay the course on social distancing and masks.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got stuff like that going on.
And if you read the comments, there are people saying, like, why would I trust or why would I follow CDC guidelines? It's not like they're doctors. It's like, wait, what? Like,
let's just follow these memes on my timeline for Facebook. I'll follow those. Let's do those instead. They know. Those guys know. All my friends know.
See, the problem with these folks is they hear CDC and they've been the ones that have been watching like Walking Dead. You know, the Walking Dead shit started from inside the CDC. So they're trying to prepare. They'll take that as fact before they actually take what the real CDC is doing as far as science is concerned and, you know, research.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, it's the world we live in.
100% believe that there are people out there that exist and will use that as a reference point. So I believe you 100% on that, my brother. All right, man, let's go into the next topic that we have pulled up on the schedule. I know we kind of flipped some things around, but it's a good conversation.
Nobody knows but us.
So I saw that they're trying to bring back a couple. Well, one is an iconic show to me. You could say the other award show is iconic based off, we'll say, Three Stacks and Biggie them and Snoop and all that. But there's a company that's trying to bring back Yo MTV Raps. It's not going to be MTV, but the format will be the same. And then also, they're saying the Source Awards are going to come back as well. It says hip-hop needs its premier awards show back. And this is Londell. Let's see. L. Londell McMillan is the current CEO and owner of the Source. So at every award show, our social media at the Source explodes. So back by popular demand is the statement that he released. So you think about the Source, and you think about whatever said show for Yo MTV Raps, whatever the format is going to be for that. In my opinion, man, you know, I'll throw it around, toss it around the room to see what you guys think. I don't know how that's going to be received in 2021 based off how everything is done now, especially more towards the Yo MTV Raps. Do you guys think there's a lane for that, a pocket for a show where, you know, you go back to the interview sit down format and maybe have some people perform in this era where attention span is like 20 seconds? Like, what do y'all think about that, man? Like, do you think people will embrace this concept and this might be a new wave online? I'm cool on the Source Awards because I don't know what that's going to be like. I never really was on the Source Awards like that anyway. You could talk about that too if you want, but I'm going more along the lines of the Yo MTV Raps reboot. What do y'all think about that, man, in today's era of the small attention span? Terry, I'll come to you first. What do you think?
I mean, I think it could work. You have all kind of shows on YouTube where people sit down with an artist. Vlad, of course. You have Nori, you have at Joe. He does his Instagram show now where he sits down and interviews artists or whatnot. They're just not adding that video format to it.
So that's where I think, talking over.
Yeah, I mean, you already know Nori doing a lot of talking over. Fat Joe do the same thing too, but
Fat Joe might be worse than Nori. I might owe Nori an apology low key, but go ahead. It
might be neck and neck with them. But, as far as the I think it's about time for the new generation to see what Yo MTV Raps format was about. Also, there's no actual video shows. Like MTV and BET don't really show videos. All the videos are on YouTube now. So it would be kind of cool to see a format like that where they're interviewing an artist, they're showing videos, doing a countdown per se. As far as the Source Awards are concerned, it would actually make more sense for XXL to have an award show versus the source, because the source has not been the source
since when?
Speak for hip hop, and I don't know, a long time, and nobody fucks with Benzino like that. I don't know if he still owns the source.
No, he's
I don't know if he's still a part of it.
For like 50. It's bad. That's that. He's been. That's like 15, damn near 20 years ago. I remember. Maybe not 20, but like when I first moved here to Indy, and that's been about 15 years ago, I remember seeing, I want to say Pimp C on the cover of The Source, and it was, and it said at the top, 100% Benzino free.
Well, damn.
So
well,
it's been, there you go. It's been more than a decade he's been gone.
Shows you how long it's been since I've actually paid attention to The Source.
It's always True. Associated with
it. What'd you say, Long?
He's always associated with it, though.
Yeah, like the Benzino will always be associated with that mug, but I don't know why I was thinking it was a little bit more recent than that. But that's good call on that, Jay Moore, because I ain't know it was that long ago, because I ain't really.
I mean, the source don't even have a good online presence either. Like when I think of hip hop, I think of OK Player, so to speak. Well, myself personally, when I think of hip hop on the internet, OK Player and Complex. So if they're not covering it at this point in time, then really doesn't make sense from a magazine point of view. XXL has exceeded Source as far as popularity. So
the Source hasn't really been shit for a while. I remember I got a write up in the Source like less than 10 years ago, and it was
stun on them real quick. Then talk to them,
but it was like, yeah, that's neat. It wasn't even like one of the better ones, you know. It was just like, the website, everything's turned into like too many ads, you know, less about the music, more about the trying to hold a little bit of clout in the space anymore. To Terry's point, like Complex and OK Player and Two Dope Boys still, you know.
I mean, the Source mics used to be, there was a time when people used to look forward to
before the
mic
internet.
Ratings. Like y'all, you're right. That used to be it, boy. Now it's like, you know, I don't know if anybody would care, man, but it'd be curious. I'm more curious about the MTV Raps piece, or quote unquote remake, just because you got to get the right people to do that, man. The right personalities and all that shit has to work, man. You can't have two people that's,
I don't want academics
doing it. Like
we've talked about trying to do something. We've talked about trying to do something similar, but the problem you run into is copyright issues. You know, it's hard. It's hard to do a Yo MTV rap thing from a streaming platform, just because everything will get blocked. So if a platform can comes out or if it's gonna have to be something kind of lucrative in the sense of broadcast somewhere, rights paid for and stuff like that. So. That's why we haven't seen anything like quite like that on the internet yet.
Yeah. And I'm completely separating it from, you know, the old show. Like, I don't think any of that matters. I don't think any of that will cross over. I don't think it's about that. I'm just curious about the actual platform working and where it would actually work, because we just know everybody's attention span is so short now. Hell, mine's become so short because it's just the era that we in now. I'm saying, so I don't know, man. It'd be interesting to see. But as for the Source of Wars, like y'all said, like, I don't know. I'm trying to see what the chat said. I think it was, well, let me see. Dono said, if I'm not mistaken, he said, I don't care about the people saying they don't care about the awards show, including me. He said, it will work. And I said, you think so? He said, yes, it will work if they do it right. The current generation loved some nostalgia factor. Okay.
There's a, so Amazon will lock down music licensing for Twitch soon. I actually don't think that they will. Amazon actually doesn't really care much about Twitch. So we can talk about that after the show. But the DMCA stuff is actually something that I'm really kind of up to date on, and Amazon's investment in Twitch is extremely low. But anyways,
I see when Metallica actually performed here recently, it's ironic that their stream got muted for DCMA. What? Yeah,
word.
Yeah, it's
they got their
the Wild West
performance
right now.
Muted. Yeah, And they're the ones that pretty much spearheaded this shit back in Napster days. You know what I'm saying? If, for those that remember, they were one of the artists that were highly involved in locking that Napster music sharing stuff down. And look what it's doing now.
At one point, they tried to really make it out to be the bad guys, but I never saw them as that. I was like, yeah, you know, especially having friends who are artists, you know, and this is before there was a streaming era. There was no streaming. You know, if you appreciate my art, like there are people who are like, oh, music should be free. No, like vaccines for sick children should be free. You know, food for homeless people should be free. Like, don't if you want the new Metallica song, you should have to buy the new Metallica song. Like, everybody's like, well, they're already rich. I was like, yeah, but there's a lot of artists who came behind them that weren't already rich, who were screwed over by this system and unfortunately, the music, you know, the music labels, instead of trying to actually figure something out, they were just like, well, we'll just shut down all these networks. And it just evolved into LimeWire or BearShare or whatever it is that you use to, you know, to steal music. And I'm not going to act like I didn't do it myself, but
we all did it.
You know, but
we all did it. Long talk me.
You know, I just hate the fact that, like, the artists who didn't want you to steal from them, from the work that, you know, they had to pay an engineer, they had to pay for the studio, they had to pay, you know, vocal arrangers and producers, and you're upset that they don't want that art given away for free.
Yeah,
like, I'm
not even mad. I'm
cool on that. Makes sense. I just thought it was funny that happened to them, based on how they stood and the stance they took, which was important and it made sense. But it still was funny to me that their music was muted while they were playing it live. It wasn't even
definitely.
They were sitting down playing the songs. They were playing it live.
Yeah,
it's, but I also think just to go back to actually, you know, the what we were talking about. I don't think the Source Awards will work just because the branding for the Source for this generation, and I know it's not all about just this generation, but they don't care about the Source. The Source hasn't been on the stands in I don't know how long. You know, XXL used to put out maybe 3 or 4 issues a year, but now I don't even see them in print anymore.
When's the last time I looked at the stand? That's my question. When's the last time I looked at a newsstand?
So when you're talking about, you know, these brands and how they're viewed in the public consciousness, like we remember XXL when, you know, it came out every 3 or 4 months and that was a big deal and the competition they had with the Source. But, you know, if you're 19, you don't care about either of these brands. The BET Awards, I think, are the hip hop award show at this point with the Cyphers and, you know, everything that they've meant to the culture. So that's been more recent. You'd have to do something really great to kind of take on that particular branding. As far as the MTV raps, first of all, everyone gets their interviews, you know, from, I think Terry brought up Vlad TV or Smalls or you know, anybody who stopped by the Breakfast Club. You know, the people who do put out videos, there used to be a thing called standards and practices that you had to adhere to as far as like, okay, you can only have so much ass shaking. You can only show people, you can't show guns. You can't, you know, somebody smoking, we'll blur it out if somebody's smoking weed or if there's a weed leaf on. Like, these kids have been making music videos that go directly on YouTube, and they're not, you know, as long as it doesn't violate anything that YouTube is upset about, you know, and they can put that, you know, are you of older than 18 banner on it. So these kids don't care about having their songs played on MTV or BET or Friday night videos. Nobody does it for that anymore. Maybe BET Jams or BET, like if you got the real good cable, but once again, most people don't pay for cable anymore. So you're talking about
curation has changed, right? Curation has
changed.
So at this point, because I know the Paramount Plus thing, like the only thing I'd like to see on Paramount Plus as far as if you could put some of them old episodes up from the 90s, I'd like to see some of those performances. But once again, that's a rights management thing. But a new Yo MTV Raps, these kids don't know what it is to come home after school and watch videos for an hour.
I don't think it's going to be that's my question. Like, I don't think. Take the Yo MTV Raps old Young TV raps out of it. Like, I'm trying to figure out what the new version of that would be and how they would spin it towards this generation. That's my question.
It's called your, it's called your YouTube playlist. And
that's just it. Okay. That's fair.
If I want to watch a bunch of Young Littles for an hour, I can set up my playlist and I don't have to worry. If I pay the $5.50 a month, I don't have to worry about commercials. I don't have to sit through some interview by some artist I don't care about. I can just go ahead and watch the music videos I want to see on demand. This is an on demand culture. I don't ever watch anything live. I watch everything on Hulu. I watch it at my leisure.
Right. And to Jay's point, the or is it's curators of changes. And I already mentioned this, but it's like it, people aren't dependent on channels like that. You know, the only, or maybe a specific channel where they want to follow music. Cause they, when I say channel, all right. So if you go to Bringing On The Band, you know, you're going to hear a specific type of hip hop. There are people that curate Spotify playlists. There are people that curate specific things like that. But as far as like something that is real, I don't know, man. I think it would have to be catered toward the older generation, our ages and older, for it to really pop off and be a thing for people to really care about. If there's not any type of social media clout involved in it. Like, I just don't see it working. But anyways,
well, I mean, we'll see. Like, that's the thing about it.
I think it might have a chance. It might have a chance as far as, I definitely agree with it being after school. Maybe might not be a good time slot, but it may be something that comes on prime time now. It may be something that comes on in the evening at nighttime where they're actually showing a video show. They have a host and or whatnot and whatever format they use. I think it could possibly work. I don't think it's a dinosaur to where it's.
I do.
Dead format. I don't. That's why I had the idea of possibly doing it myself. But the thing that backed me down from doing it was pretty much copyright laws. But I think people would tune in to see certain things as long as the format and as long as it's enjoyable and set up the correct way.
It depends on the format. No, like in the same way that Egon in Ghostbusters 1 said print is dead, right? TV is dead.
Definitely. Like,
people are still watching television, but the way that we viewed television from 10, 20 years ago, it's just not a thing anymore. Like, it's everything is on demand. It's based upon what we want when we want it. So if it's a television Netflix series, maybe. If it's a online show on Twitch or YouTube or some other platform, I think maybe. But as far as like something that airs on the television show, like a UMTV Raps used to be, or I could be wrong, but
I don't see it being
and not reaching the younger generation.
One of y'all mentioned clout, like. However this works, that's going in this era, that's going to have to be involved. Like, there's going to have to be some form of clout that's involved for these people to even do it, to make it worth their time and to make it pop, because this generation is built off clout chasing.
Definitely. So that was part of the reason people wanted to go to, like, let's fast forward to like a 106 in Park or a Total Request Live. The lure of being on those shows was for TRL was being seen in that studio with the big wide open windows where you could look down and see all these kids in the street.
Right. Yep.
Just trying to get a glance at their favorite artist. 106 in Park was more the location. We're located in the heart of Harlem, studio full of Harlemite kids that are pretty much setting the standards and dance and shit. They're in the audience. You know, it kind of was the place to be, so to speak. So it would definitely have to be something centered like that is, or around something like that to where that would catch people's attention, so to speak.
It's got to be virtual.
I'm with you 100%. Like, Yeah, I'm curious. Like, we'll see. Like, the thing is, I'm gonna monitor. We can monitor it and see, you know, if it pops, and we'll take a look at the first couple runs and see if it works or not, and kind of go from there. But you know, I think we're probably 50-50 on this one. I'm kind of along the lines of Terry. I know Jay Moore and I'm pretty much set in their ways on this one. So it's cool. We'll see. We'll definitely see. Bone, let's
let me throw this in there real quick though, just before we switch gears.
So, sir,
what if you had a choice between a Yo MTV Raps or BET The Basement?
Oh man,
what are you going with?
Basement.
Oh man, as is.
I just like the basement
with Dr. Dre. Yeah, lover, man.
The Basement was just so it was unedited. You know, like it was just.
Dr. Dre and Ed Lover did it for me though, like them as their personalities. Like, I'm gonna go Yo MTV Raps.
Oh wait,
man.
Did you say Freddy. Did you say The Basement or did you say Uncut?
He said The Basement, like with Big Tigger. Yeah, with Tigger and
I'd still go Basement.
The Mayor and all them. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm gonna go Yo MTV Raps.
It's like comparing different eras in the NBA. If you're talking about Yo MTV Raps, you're talking about 90 to 94. The Basement didn't come along till like the 2000s.
True.
You know, when Yo MTV Raps wasn't even a thing anymore. You know, remember Yo MTV Raps was over by 95.
True. Shout out to Chris Thomas was the first mayor. Was
Chris, that right? Thomas. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I understand what they do. Like, honestly, I'm just going to keep it real. Rap City was whack at first because I'm like, first of all, there's no reason. The mayor, come on. Like, here it is. MTV went and got people from the culture, you know, to host this show. And they got, I mean, don't get me wrong, Chris Thomas. I mean, I guess he was funny. But, like, you couldn't go with somebody from the culture to host your show.
Joe Claire was cool, though.
Joe Claire was cool. I mean, but it was just like, come on, fam. And, like, he was out there doing, like, they wanted to be funny, and I was like, no, fam, like, not you. You got Fab Five Freddy who is the culture, and then you for BET they go and get Chris Thomas. Come on, man. Yeah. Like, nothing against dude.
Let's go ahead and go to the partners, because I'm not about to sit here and have this Joe Cleese disrespect and this Chris Thomas disrespect. So
I didn't say anything about Joe Claire. I love Joe Claire. Joe Claire was fantastic.
I'm talking about
Chris Spencer or what, Chris Hook, whatever his name was, Chris, the mayor. Like, I hate
partners.
Him.
I'd like
to thank our partners for the new Old Heads podcast. No Bad Ideas Clothing Company, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, Sun King Brewery, and the hub for all things new Old Heads, BringingDownTheBand.com. Remember, once you type Bringing Down the Band in the search bar on YouTube and the page populates, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And as always, we thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Theo Soul. All right. Back from the partners, appreciate you long for that. See, Soul Purpose One, I see you. Naughty Pie, I see you. Waffle House Pimp in the building, I see you. Let's see. He said Rap City. Waffle House Pimp said The Basement for show. The Basement, Soul Purpose. Okay.
I was thinking of Uncut at first. I just like the idea of just playing. I was very anti-censorship. Yeah, I know. That's,
yeah.
I don't think
Uncut
I don't think
was
host,
on one.
I don't think a host is important, but I think that's me though.
Uncut was on one. What that thing smelled like. Iconic. All right. Shout out Ball State University, by the way.
Thought it was IU.
Ball State.
I thought they shot that at, yeah, because the dude, the singer from Ball State.
Mecca. They shot it at the Mecca, which was a West Side staple for those that know.
Yes, sir. But the dude that's singing on the hook is from Ball State, and the rapper's from Ball State. I ain't gonna say that brother's name because he's doing some great things in his community. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't gonna put, we're gonna talk about them the past. But what that thing smelled like was definitely classic. All right, before we get out of here on this last one, OK Player released an article saying that Will Smith is considering running for president.
No.
That's not what game.
Talking about the game.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the game. Oh, we talking about the game? All right, cool. Shout out to Will anyway. I would vote for him. Back to the game. So being... He's better. If Trump can win, I damn sure go sit down and listen to Will Smith. Let's see. The game.
Yes.
Game. What? Who had the? Where's the?
This is my website.
yeah, this is what the people wanted. And when I got out of Discord, I lost my article, but I still sum it up. So the game was there's an article that talks about the game as a scammer and saying that he's been going around or his account's been going through IG accounts, sending messages saying, hey, $500, I'll put you on. We can collab, get you a mixtape spot, blah, 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 blah. And I actually received one of those messages. And this is happening because he originally had reposted some stuff from the homie Fox out the Fox guy like energy. Go get that if you are on your streaming services. Actually fool with Fox, but he sent it to me and I got a $500 holla invite. And Lone made up a good point in the pre-show. He was talking about, I think, Fat Joe and DMX. And there's a couple other people that were floating around, you know, with these messages coming through the inbox.
I've never heard DMX, but definitely Fat Joe.
I heard DMX and Redman.
Well, definitely Fat Joe, definitely Dave East, and definitely there was one other artist, and I don't remember who. Yeah.
I saw one floating around for DMX, and also I think Redman too. Me, for these guys, oh, Benny was on there as well? Okay, I didn't know. Yep. Benny. Okay, I didn't know Benny was on there. For me, thinking about this, man, from these guys that have legendary status in rap, like, when y'all hear about them being a part of scams, and who knows who runs whose IG account, I'm not about to go down that rabbit hole, because who knows who runs what. You're going to have some artists that say, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, and then there's probably some that know, just don't want to say it. But, Lone, I'll come to you first. How does that make these people look, man? Because it look corny to me if you're reaching out to people for $500, which is as millionaires. Or does it have something to do with the pandemic? I don't know. But to me, it's not a good look. It doesn't
sit well with me. This has been going around for a long time. It's selling clout in a specific way to artists that think that they're going to get automatically notoriety. So here's how it works. You're an up-and-coming artist. You're grinding. You follow somebody, right? And Fat Joe ends up texting you through a DM and says, hey, I've heard your music. I'm putting together this mixtape compilation. You know, if you want to get on it, here's 500, you know, it costs $500 a slot. Just send us your music. We'll get you on there. They put the mixtape out. The mixtape is typically like, it's got like artwork of the artist on there, maybe one of their songs, maybe not, but it's put together by a completely third party entity. So it's not even these artists that are actually really putting anything together. It's just some other quote unquote modern day mixtape DJ that is putting together stuff and just compiling songs and just trying to push this based on the clout of the artist. Now, when this was happening last year, some of these mixtapes that were coming out, especially like the Benny one, they were selling slots for like $500-$600. Benny was on the cover. And I think the most plays that any of the songs got was like 120 on SoundCloud.
Oh, wow.
So you're buying a $500 slot for maybe 120 listens, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's just a scam. So Jadakiss was the other person that was a part of it too.
Oh, kids.
Now I don't know if these artists are fully aware of. Maybe it had great intentions. You know what I mean? Maybe they got sold on something. Sold on something that was like, hey, you know, this is the result of what we're going to do. You know, we're going to give you this percentage of everything. But unless it's already proven and you really know this person, you know, and they're vouched for, and the artist is legitimately going to push it as well, it's just a bad look. It's a bad look to be a part of something and to have your name attached to it for a few $1,000s, you know? So, yeah.
I'm not mad at that. Thanks for the breakdown as well.
And it is a scam.
Hey, Dave, talk to me, man. What you think when you see that? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
And I can imagine being an artist and an up-and-coming artist, and then this popular artist that you may have listened to or looked up to is now in your inbox and finding you onto a project. I mean, that's how a lot of artists get discovered. Like, for example, Pooh Shiesty. Gucci hopped in his inbox and was like, I like your stuff. I'm trying to mess with you. But he wasn't asking him for money. He was shooting him a plane ticket so that they could sit down and talk logistics and actually work something out. It should be an automatic red flag if somebody's telling you they fuck with you. I'm putting together this compilation, and if you want to be on it, shoot me $500. Yeah. You're in a position that I think that you're in, that I can see that you're in.
Yeah.
And if you actually fuck with me, why would you want me to pay $500 to be on your mixtape when it's just some, especially nowadays, you don't even have to make a physical copy of anything. All you're doing is putting up a playlist, some artwork, mm-hmm. and putting it on the internet. You ain't putting it in any store. So you really mess with my work, why am I having to pay you? But you can see how some people would get excited about that and actually do it and pull the trigger. It reminds me of pay-to-play schemes back in the day where they would have a tour or something come through your city. They're charging you to get a slot to open up for these artists. You get like maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Yep.
And you're opening up for an artist who's obviously their fans are in the crowd. They don't know you from a can of paint. You might not even fit this other artist's profile or sound, and you paid to play on this concert or this tour or whatnot, and you might have received one or two fans. Yep. That, you know what I'm saying? And it's like you said, it's a clout type thing. Because if somebody says that I'm associated with this person,
yeah,
you paid to be associated with that person, and how true is that? Especially if it didn't really garner you anything. So I think it's kind of sad that happened. Wouldn't think that people would be in people's inboxes asking them for money, but I guess I've seen worse things from people.
I can dig it. And more, let me ask you a question. On this, is it realistic to say that an artist could be unaware of this and just somebody is doing this from their account? Is that far fetched?
Look, somebody was out here and got $100,000 out of some poor lady and told her, I'm Bruno Mars, and like Bruno Mars needs your little funky $100,000, you know. So that was sad, but you know, of course. Look, there are a lot of artists who made all their money from touring, and they haven't been able to tour some of these people, all their money stopped as soon as the pandemic hit. And so do I think some of it's legit? I mean, and when I say legit, is it the actual artist? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do I think that some of it is a scam perpetrated by a third party? Yes. Do I think some of it is going to be scams perpetrated by artists? Yes, because like I said, I mean, there are a lot of artists who are famous, but they're not rich. And so they still got to do what they got to do. And, you know, when I see specifically with the game, you know, let's just be honest, like this dude got a whole bunch of lawsuits that he's one of those cats that doesn't show up to court and he just gets a default judgment slapped on him. One of them's for like, you know, $5 or $6 million for something that happened on some reality show.
I don't know,
if you can send something straight to his Cash App, that's probably a lot better than having to go through the normal channels of actually cutting a check and having to take it to the bank. You know, I just think that some of this is grimy. It's a reflection of the times that we're in right now. And you know, at this point, like, look, unless, and don't get me wrong, some of the names, it'd be one thing if DaBaby called and said, hey, I want to fight. Like, a lot of these artists you mentioned, they're not going to get you on the radio. They're not going to get you on TV. Like, they're legacy artists, and that's great. And, you know, of course, I love DMX. I love Redman, you know. But, you know, at this point, these aren't people inviting you to be on new hit records. You know, if somebody said, okay, I got $500, you know, come be on the next Megan Thee Stallion record, I'd be like, okay, $500 seems like a real deal. But you say
or top $500, Spotify playlist or something like that, so that makes more sense.
$500 to get on, you know, the next Father MC record. I mean, like, you know, that's a red flag right there. Nothing against Father MC, but, you know, come on, man. Like, Like, what is a father MC going to do for me as a somebody who's trying to come up right now? And I just use that example as, you know, because I really don't. But for real, like anybody who's had records, I mean, you don't even have to go back that far. If Smiles and South Star was like, "Yo, we need $500 on a new record. We got a compilation," you know. That doesn't like $500. I'd be like,
you comparing the game.
You're showing out now.
Say even. I'll even say somebody like Ja Rule. If Ja Rule hits you up and said, "Yo, I got new records coming out, and you could pay $500," like, there's not a radio programmer in America that's going to get excited about a new Ja Rule record.
That wouldn't be smart from a up and coming artist's point of view either, to pay $500 to have 50 Cent drag you. Cool.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm cool.
But if it was say someone like 50 Cent, like I said, nobody in who works in radio is like, man,
50 got three hit shows on TV right now.
Like, he's not thinking about music. Radio's not trying to play no new 50 down. Cent record.
I don't think these artists care about radio though. I don't think that's relevant.
Rio actually do got a new 50 Cent record on right now, and it's actually pretty good.
I don't think these artists care about that.
Who was that joint? What's the joint, Terry, that he got with the feature from the young kid on it that's cold? Where he driving around in he actually got two.
He got two joints on the radio. He got the joint with Pop Smoke. Uh-huh. And then he got another one on the radio right now, too.
What's the joint with him riding around in the old school? It was for a soundtrack or something. He's got a young artist on, and I cannot call the name of this. The song is fire, though. Like, both of them got off. It's newer. Yeah, it's newer. Yeah. It's 50 Cent featuring somebody in the chat. Help me out. It's got what's my young boy name that redid the Tupac video? Was doing all the Tupac videos that redid those. Oh man, I can't call his name, man. It wasn't him. It wasn't him. Be a young boy, but I say that to say the record is cold.
No, I know who you're talking about. Who was
Charlie Wilson? Yeah, Charlie Wilson, right?
From here, produce.
Charlie Wilson. NLE Choppa. That song is cold. And NLE Choppa got off. That song is cold. So I don't know what else going on with Fifth musically, because I know he's an executive producer now. But that joint with NLE Choppa is cold. He's teaming with
Pop Smoke and NLE Choppa. Those are top tier artists, whether you know them or not. This music is moving right now. But if you know, if NCAA young boy from Iowa decides to get on and pay 50 cents, $500, this song is not going to do anything.
Oh, J Diff, get your man. He said Father MC. He said,
I think a bigger
you were selling my guy short, man, with that Father MC shot.
Go ahead, Long.
From an artist standpoint, I don't think the artists that are trying to get on these mixtapes are looking for radio play. I think they're looking for more exposure than they had.
Right.
And I think the even bigger point is that this isn't even gonna give them that. Like, it's like,
yeah, right.
Forget radio play. Like, they're not even going to get more SoundCloud followers. You know what I mean? Like,
I'd be trying to get on one of these playlists. That's what I'd be trying to get on. I'd be trying to get on one of these major playlists. That's the radio now. To me, the playlists are the radio now.
Can you name one playlist?
Rap Caviar is one of the biggest ones on Spotify.
Okay. Besides that one, though.
I have to pull it up because I don't listen to them. So, okay. But I know them when I see them.
I think this model, specifically kind of getting back on topic a little bit, is very similar to the model that artists get scammed a little bit from, like leasing verses. I don't know if you've seen that as well.
Okay.
It's very similar to like leasing verses and to be honest, leasing beats too. Like, you don't end up owning anything. You know, like, you don't own your own music. Like, so
Oh, and but, I pulled up a couple another... for you just for reference.
Oh, I'm not going to listen to them. I don't care.
I know you're not. I'm just giving you some numbers.
I just wanted to see if you actually knew any, you know, like.
I know Rap Caviar, 13,647,732 followers. Like if that was one of the playlists that you could get on based off for the $500 holiday,
that would make sense. You're not getting on that playlist for $500. Trust me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Still though, even this conversation we're having about getting on playlists and stuff like that, like this is still like not good advice for artists. Like, Right. Screw all this shit. Build your own stuff up from scratch. Like that, there's no equivalency for like doing the work. Like you have to do the work.
There's no shortcut. That's the problem. Everybody thinks there's a shortcut to fast forward.
You have to do the work.
If you see kids coming up and they see an opportunity to where I can spend $500 my song on a national artist release, then to them that sounds like a gold mine. They hit gold. So imagine how many people I swindled out of their $500. They start seeing that all their friends was talking about. They got the same message that you got.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because you might have felt special for 24 to 48 hours, or as soon as that fucking PayPal payment went through, it was a wrap.
And one of your guys was like, "Oh man, you working with Father MC too, huh?" You know what I'm saying? And then it don't feel as special anymore.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, because everyone had $500 to get on. You know, so and so's record. You know,
yeah, Father MC though.
NCAA Young Boy, man, you own one tonight, Jay Moore. That's a couple of nice ones right there.
The name is Lone, man. It's Lone. I love you guys, but it's Lone.
Did I call you?
Oh. No, I'm talking to the chat right now. That's all. Love you guys. Oh, I'm just trying to, you know,
don't get it.
Trying to help y'all out.
Hey, Sano, we love you, brother. We love you. But long is fucked up is making me laugh so hard for saying that.
And Waffle House Pimp.
Oh, it's Waffle House Pimp messed up too?
It's all good, bro. It's really all good. It's actually become a thing on the show that every time somebody screws it up, I mention it. But
Yeah. It's a running joke now, man. So y'all straight, man. Waffle House Pimp out here calling long, man. Cut it out, man.
Long's donuts.
Shout out to Long's Donuts. Man. All right, man. I think that's going to do it for this episode. Stick around with us, man. We're going to talk a little more shit in the post show. Make sure you check our Patreon out if you get a chance. Search New Old Heads on the Patreon. And as always, follow on Twitch. We are trying to get our subscribers up. I'm going to do a shameless plug. I got my sports podcast coming out the 7th quarter. It'll be on Discord and Twitch and all that other good stuff, New Old Heads Network. So, stay tuned, man. Come argue with your boy. And we'll see y'all next week. Appreciate the support as always. To the lurkers and haters, we love y'all too.
Peace.
Peace.